get going here.
Are Dory and Ella?
I'm sorry? No, the plan is usually don't attend the various hearings.
Oh, okay, I just on the phone. She had said she was coming.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they certainly can and they may, but no.
That's not wrong.
Okay, I will call to order. It's January 17th, 2018 special variance hearing. Thank you all for making a special trip. We don't typically have the variance hearings here, but as many of you know, at the last variance hearing, the zoning administrator, Scott Sanchez, agreed to hold this special hearing for these two items on the first. I'm Corey Teague. I'm the assistant zoning administrator. As I mentioned, Scott Sanchez fell pretty ill yesterday and out again today, so I'll be covering for him for this hearing. I'm joined by Gina Salcedo, who will be running our clock. He'll let you know kind of how much time we have for speaking. Obviously, there's no podium here. This isn't a City Hall hearing room. I was going to reserve this seat for anyone during public comments to make sure that our audio capture could capture everybody's voice, but I think we have enough people in close enough proximity. If everyone speaks clearly and loudly, you don't need to move when you want to speak. Just going to go over kind of the general information about the hearings, which is all the same as a typical variance hearing. In terms of order of presentation for each case, the sponsor or the owner will be given 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they present their case, if you didn't do also at the last, already at the last hearing. Any members of the public, supporters and opponents of the proposed variance shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there are any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I can ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate action on the item today. Because I am filling in for Scott on somewhat late notice, it is likely that even though I will ask questions and I have been briefed, I will likely take these cases both under advisement. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed in case anyone's here not for these cases, but that's not likely. Regarding the criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. So please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. I just want to stress that again. Today's hearing and the end of the hearing will not be the decision. The decision will come in the form of a letter that will be issued up to 2 months from now. If anyone would like to receive a copy of that decision letter, please leave your contact information with us before you leave today so that we can inform you when that letter goes out. Regarding a potential appeal of a variance decision, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that letter is issued. Private conversations are and can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside the room if you need to have them. Just to let you know, the next variance hearing is actually next week on one of our regularly scheduled hearings on January 24th. Audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website going back to January 1st, 2011, and we will be recording this this hearing as well. And with that, we'll move on to the very brief calendar that we have today, beginning with item number one for 2220 Turk Boulevard.
All right, so we're going to begin that case number, or for item one, case number 2017-008431 VAR, located at 2220 Turk Boulevard, with an exposure variance sought. So, project sponsor, when you are ready,
you can... Would you mind if we do 2230 first? If you mind, it's fine. We'll
yeah, I'd rather stay in the order of the calendar. Yeah.
All right, so when the project sponsor is ready for item number one, you have a 5-minute presentation.
Hold on.
When you are ready.
Could you identify yourself?
Yes, I'm John Hood. I'm the architect of Hood Thomas Architects, and this is my associate, Ian Zio, who's done all the heavy lifting on the project. We've been practicing for 20 years, and here we are. So this is 2220, this is 2230. We're seeking unit exposure variances. And unit exposure, what that means is the unit must open up onto a clear funnel that goes all the way to the sky that's 15 by 15, or 225 square feet. And this property has a rear yard that is 10 feet deep, not 15. And so the space that the unit opens up onto is 16 by 10. So it's 160 square feet. It's about 70% of the 225. All three are the same. One of the unique things about this building is that the building behind is much shorter, and so these open up onto the rear yard of somebody else's building. It doesn't count by the strict rule, but it is a benefit. The second thing to say about this building is that these buildings have courtyards, and so these units open to the classic unit exposure, and also they all three open to this nice courtyard. And, you know, it's not Versailles, but it is a nice courtyard. It's just that this doesn't meet the strict interpretation of the rule. And so these three units, let me see, those three units are 600 square feet, 500 square feet, and 400 square feet, and those are round numbers. So one of the things that we feel is, the reason why we feel okay about asking for a variance is that, first of all, the minimum square footage for a unit is 220 square feet, and the smallest unit is double that size. We also have a nice unit mix. There's two studios and a one bedroom. The one bedroom is 660 square feet. And then the two studios are 400 and 500 feet. There are other units on the front, which requires parking. We'll talk about parking in a little bit. But this is the variance that we're seeking here. And so we feel that it's a good variance because it allows... unit exposure is really talking about exposure to the outside world. And so these units have 70% of what's required, plus they have the bonus of this open space. And the second bonus is we have a courtyard that it also opens up to. The next one. And so you can see here that this is, by definition, unit exposure, and we're at 70%. Then this is bonus, and this is bonus. Next slide. Is there something else on this one? So what I intend to do is talk about 2220, and then talk about 2230, and then I'd like to talk about the parking, which is why everybody's here. Is that sound all right to y'all? Corey, is that acceptable?
It's your time. Yeah.
Okay, so I'd now like to use some of my time for 2230, please. How much time did I use?
You have 1 minute 15, so are we continuing on the next?
No, this is all for 2220. So, I mean, if you want to use some time, you're going to get more time later for 2230.
Okay. So, 2220, the parking. There are three There are four legal parking spaces in 2220. So there are four legal parking spaces in 2220. Three of them are occupied, and one is leased, but not to a car. And when the work is done, we take away the curb cut, and we can put two of the three can move out to the street. And so there's a net loss of one leased parking space from 2220 after the project is complete. So that closes my presentation on 2220. 2230, please.
Oh, we're going to take, sorry, they're two separate cases, so we're going to do one and then the other.
So this is, they just told me exactly the opposite yesterday, but we'll do it your way.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry.
I apologize if there was a miscommunication, but yeah, so we'll just take each calendar item as they come. So 2220, sponsors. By indication of hands, members of the public, who would like to speak on 2220? You have to speak on 25. Okay. If you don't mind, if you could go in order, starting at the end and moving around all the way to the left of me. And if you could make sure to say give us your name when you begin. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. It's just up to you. Yeah.
And when you're ready, I will signal, and you have each person has 3 minutes to comment.
Yeah, I only have two comments.
Okay.
So,
can you provide your name, please?
My name is Ross Lyon.
Okay.
And you mentioned that the building behind where the variance is being affected for the three units in the back, that building next to it was much shorter, and I don't think that's the case at all. I think that building is still pretty tall, and it's not much different than the height of our building. So I'd like to see what the measurement is of the adjacent property in terms of height. And also, I think that those two parking spots in front, they're not available to our neighbors who currently have spots there based on the fact that it's city parking. So you're going to have to drive around and make sure that spot's available sometime and then find it. It's not like it's reserved. And the second part is, those garages actually can hold up to, six cars.
Yeah.
So whether the landlord decided in his decision to lease out those spots, it's really six spots. And that's my comments, is that I don't think the variance should be granted based on the fact that the back is going to be a complete nightmare for the people living there, that it's so dark because of the adjacent building, that it's not a one story, it's not even a one and a half story, it's a full two-story plus additional height.
Okay. Thank you.
And then I have a question, just as for the legal authority that the landlords or the architects have to eliminate those parking spots, because as you know, our building is zoned RH2, residential housing 2, and I believe we're supposed to have approximately one parking spot for around every 1,500 feet, I think. So I looked at your action memo. I understand it's for 2,200, but I'm going to assume you're going to apply the same logic for our building. And your action memo cites section 307L of the planning code, and section 307L of the planning code specifically refers to waiving parking for the accessory dwelling units, not the existing units. So I think we're okay with adding an ADU and not adding parking for that particular unit, but I don't see any legal authority to waive the parking as we're currently zoned for the rest of the building. And then there's also other, when I look at the statute, I don't see it. And then there's also you guys, for the planning department, DBI, actually in your if this was issued in June 2017, talking about ADUs, and the planning department specifically says the new unit should not take up common area spaces previously enjoyed by the other tenants, no reduction of services.
That's true. But that's not
I'm sorry, just public comment.
No, that's
sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
My fault.
Excuse me, I have a question.
I'm sorry, this is just public comment. Each person has 3 minutes. Sorry. We can have conversations later.
That's okay. Well, it's also the parking, many of the tenants, for example, Marge, who's right here, she's one of the spots. She has the spot in her lease, and she's had it since May 1st, 1966, sorry, Mark. And there's no, currently we have not identified a just cause reason for the landlord to sever her garage from her lease, which is required under the administrative code regulating rent control. So for those reasons, we don't believe that the parking should be eliminated and that the variance should not be granted.
Can I get your name?
Oh, sorry, Christina Saber, and I live at 2220.
Okay, thank you. And next.
Hi, my name's Laura. Excuse me, Laura Isayev, and I'm actually at 2200, but I know this is affecting all of us in all the four buildings because even though they're separate units, they are a community of four. One thing, and what you talked about, and one thing that isn't addressed, and it came up in conversations, is we do have a laundry facility and storage in there. We have roughly, 30 some odd units. We're going to add 15 to all four. I know that's ahead of the game, but we're losing a service that is very important to me because there's nothing in 2200, 2210. We all rely on 2220 for that service. And also, I have a garage. It's actually two cars, and we actually have a driveway out front of each of those. So you really do have room for three cars in each of these. So I do think this is misleading. And all that, although that is leased to a person who's not using it for a car, it can be used for an ex-tenant. So I think that's a little bit misleading as well. It has room for eight cars and four driveways, and we are only getting two spots on the street. So that's going to affect us all. And I'm very concerned about the parking issue, and I've been there since 1988. My father was there since 1972, so I have a very long interest in this building. And it's mostly the parking, how it's going to affect everybody, and the laundry that's not really been explained, and I'm sure you've got an answer about that. There will be laundry for all four buildings.
Thank you.
That's not been addressed in the drawing. I mean, I tried to understand that, but I'm opposed to the parking.
Thank you. And who is next who would want to speak to 2220? May have gone back.
Sure. My name is Arash Shahani. We live at 2200, right next to Laura, actually. And my thoughts are basically the same as Laura's. I just wanted to say about the driveways, which were completely overlooked. Two-car garage plus a one-car space driveway. It's really three cars for us anyway. And, you know, having to compensate that with one street parking spot, it's completely, you know, not adequate. So we're mostly affected by the lack of parking that would happen to us, but just as well with the laundry. And I know this is not going to happen to our building yet, but our garage is in the building over, so it's just going to cascade over the effect right to us. So that's it.
Thank you.
Yes, Al Sudini from the Yens Vista Neighborhood Association. I live at 140 Terra Vista. And I did send in a letter, so I'm going to try to stay away from what's in there. I must say on this, we're sort of joining with the tenants, and I guess there's a two-pronged thing. One is the harm the tenants are going to endure, and we'll let Deborah address that. We address mainly the parking issue. And it's just almost non-existent where we are today. And I have to say, I've never seen so much enthusiasm, and I hope you pick it up in their emails from our association members about their opposition to this project, mainly because we just have no parking. And we don't think the landlord should be allowed to essentially use our neighborhood as a parking lot. We're not objecting to ADUs. I mean, we understand you need housing. It's just that I think it is going to damage the neighborhood. A couple of examples. I had a lady call me yesterday complaining about the number of cars, and she was complaining. I'll use the word millennium. It's not in a derogatory sense. It's just that they're fairly young. She's got three houses very close to her, one right next door. Single-family home, six cars. Millennials, okay, they use Uber, that's fine, but they still bring cars with them. Two doors down, still a single-family house, four cars. And on the corner, it's a flat, and on the upper floor, there's five persons, and they have five cars. So to say we're not going to be impacted by losing garage spaces, I just don't think is correct. I even have a neighbor who doesn't have garages, and because of the parking and because there is crime up in that area, he lets one of his lady tenants park in his own driveway, blocking his cars. So, and the other issue, these are, I mean, I'm sure they're fine people, but they're commercial landlords. In our area, we do have landlords, but they're mainly two-unit buildings, three-unit buildings, four-unit buildings, and they don't have a lot of parking. And if we're forced to absorb more cars, their tenants aren't going to have a place to park, and it's going to affect their rents. So that's basically it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
I'll just comment one time. Okay. My name is Dino Papani. I live at 2210 Turk. My garage is in 2210. And I know it's not on the docket and it's already been permitted for 2200 and 2210, but I'm being affected as well. I'm losing my garage space, and there's another lease space in front of me that's another tenant in our building, and that's in like this where it's double deep. And it is a lease spot, and it's in front of mine, and we technically share the garage, and that wasn't listed on our plan. So we feel that there's some misrepresentation with the number of parking spaces that are actually in these plans, because our driveway spaces are readily used and used frequently by tenants, as well as the garage spaces. And subsequently, on the curb in front of your garage, you could park as well. There's 36 units in the four buildings, and you remove all that parking and you add 15 additional units, you're talking about 51 units and six street spots. It's absurd. And I'm opposed to it, as well as the legality of taking away what I legally lease, my garage space and storage, which will greatly impact me. Because I'll have to rent storage space as well to store all of my gear, should we say. A lot of gear. I'm into gear. So there you go. I'm opposed.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on 2220 Turk?
Sure. My name is Akhan Ahani. I'm a resident of 2200. And obviously, it's been said that the effect will trickle down the block to the rest of the buildings. My main concern is the proposed street parking isn't necessarily guaranteed for any of us. The addition of units will bring in more tenants, which will likely have more cars. And I mean, I'm not sure if anyone else from outside the neighborhood knows, but the blood bank as well as UCSF always bring in more cars because you have people that commute to San Francisco. San Francisco is always a commuter town for universities. I mean, myself, there was a period where I was commuting to San Francisco State. But currently, if we're removing all the parking spaces within the building and the driveways and adding more drivers, who's going to park? Who's going to be guaranteed those six spots that are proposed, or four, however many there are? There are other people that are in the buildings that are disabled, and where would they park? Our father is a disabled person. Where would he park? He would have to park very far away, and that's not very, very good for his health. His back is in shambles. He's been a hardworking person in the San Francisco Bay Area for 20 years since he moved to this country. And I would hate to see him struggle just for a lack of a parking spot. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll make a comment. I'm part of the Andavista group. My name is Bailey Jameson. One thing that you haven't addressed is the city is moving so much towards bicycle friendly. You've not mentioned any bicycle parking in the garages or the spaces. So with that, that means everybody in the buildings that have bicycles, they're going to bring them up the stairs and storing them in their units. That's going to be wear and tear on the building that the landlord is not going to be happy about. And anytime you go into an apartment building where you see a bicyclist moving it up and down the stairs, it's just a horrible scene. You're painting it almost every month, but you're not making anything. You're taking all the storage away from people. Where are they going to store the stuff? I know we need housing in the city, but when you eliminate the storage, you eliminate the laundry, and you eliminate the parking, you're shooting yourself in the foot. I've come from the old days when it used to be one parking spot per unit. And every time the city takes an axe to it, they cut it down a little bit more. To the point where people that buy a $2 million condo, they have a car. They need to park it someplace. You have 30,000 incidences of car break-ins just the first 10 months of 2017. Where are these people going to park if their car is going to be secure? I walk the Anthemist area from Turk all the way down, and every day there's at least one incident of glass on the street that's been. So what you're saying to all these people is, too bad, we'll give you whatever rent reduction is because you don't have a garage, but we're not going to pay for your break-in of your cars, and we're not responsible for your cars getting broken into. And in essence, you are, because you eliminated their parking. You haven't put that into your program. Security is a problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on 2220 Turk?
Can I add to mine?
If you've already gone. Yeah. Okay, so I'll close the public hearing on Turk Street, but the sponsor gets 3 minutes for rebuttal, and then I'll have some questions myself.
So we've not removed any laundries. Each building has a laundry.
The same amount?
More. Each building has laundry facilities. And several of you have been talking about the cars that you can park out on the driveway or in the sidewalk, and you're not allowed to do that. Now, you can do it, and you do, but if someone calls, you can be ticketed.
That's wrong.
Sorry, guys, I'm sorry. He has 3 minutes to just speak.
So that's just one. What the rule is, we need to talk about the parking spaces, the legal parking spaces that are in the building.
No.
And this is the time for you. You should present whatever information you want me to hear.
I want to try and please them. And
I know, but I mean, this
okay,
is...
Okay, fine. Sorry. Is,
yeah.
So we have 19 parking spaces in the four buildings. And so I'm including the four buildings. Even though we're talking about 2220, there are four parking spaces in 2220. And when four parking spaces, although there's only three cars. And so what it looks to us like is that there are, across the five buildings, there are 13 people that are paying. And we have the leases and that I'd like to submit of the parking and the letter that was written when the first salvo went out about the project. And so if we take the 13 leased parking spaces, we're suggesting that this is what the market wants. Because there are 19 spaces in the building and no one's renting them. And so there are 13 spaces that are rented. And so to my mind, I need to replace 13 spaces. And so I'm talking about all four projects. And so when I take away all the curb cuts on Nito and on Turf, I can place. I can place 11 parking. I can park 11 cars that you couldn't park before. You couldn't park these two because of the driveway, and you couldn't park anywhere along here because of the driveways. And so, if I look at what the market is suggesting to us, that we have 13 active parking spaces, leased parking spaces, and I'm able to replace the 13 with 11, the community, and it's not, it doesn't help the individual person as you suggest, but it helps the community. Now there's 11 more parking spaces that weren't there before. So, and this city is a transit first city. That's the policy that we have.
That's time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So, with that, that way end all the public comment. I have some updates and some questions. One thing has just come up a bit, and I want to just clarify on the driveway parking issue. There are two agencies that technically potentially regulate that: the planning department for the planning code and MTA through the transportation code. Mm-hmm. Through the planning code, all off-street parking is required to be basically screened, which means it needs to be in a garage or behind a fence or a hedge or something like that. So technically speaking, when we look at what are legal parking spaces, parking in your driveway is not permitted from a planning code perspective. That doesn't mean you'll get ticketed from MTA. You'll get ticketed from MTA potentially if you are parking it in such a way that it's creating, you're blocking the sidewalk or creating some other kind of impasse in the public right-of-way. I don't want to speak too much to that because I'm not the MTA. I don't want to pretend to be an expert on when and how they would ticket you, but from the planning code perspective, you know, if someone came in and said, how many legal parking spaces could I have? Can I count my driveway as a parking space? No. If someone complains and says my neighbor is parking their car every day in their driveway, then technically that would be a violation of the planning code. Does that mean that people don't do it all over the city all the time and nobody complains? Of course. But just technically speaking, I just want to be very clear about that. You raised a question about 307L and the authority for the zoning administrator to grant a waiver to numerous things: density, parking, rear yard, open space, and so on. That code section specifically allows those waivers if it would facilitate the construction of an ADU. So it's not just the fact that an ADU going into a building may itself require parking space. It's the fact that any parking that would be removed to facilitate the addition of an ADU can be waived. And that's the way it's been done. I understand. But that's the way. Sorry. But okay. Thank you. I understand your position on it. That was the intent when the rule was created. That's how we've interpreted it, and that's how we've granted those ever since that was in the planning code. I just want to make those things completely clear. But then moving forward, I did have some questions for the sponsor. I did want to know, you know, specifically for this building, for now, the other buildings, you know, we can talk about those later. Were the tenants notified of this proposal prior to the variance hearing or variance notice going out? And if so, when? Or do you know?
So, I don't know.
Okay.
But what I believe is, and tell me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. We're not required to notice the neighbors. If, and so I believe we did everything by the book. Is that correct?
So you are correct that there's no required neighborhood notice for this work. There's also not a required pre-application meeting because you're not expanding the envelope. But beyond that, I was asking, just notifying the tenants that this is a project we're moving forward on. It may impact whatever, your parking, your storage.
In the packet that I just handed you, mm-hmm. at the top page, is a letter that went out to the tenants on October of 2016. And it said that this is coming down the pipe. And if you had any issues or questions about parking, please call Raymond Jin, who is one of the owners.
Okay. And you may have you addressed the kind of comprehensively the number of parking spaces that were there versus how many were leased. Specifically in 2220, are there only four leased?
So
currently
there are four leased parking spaces, and we've given you. Can you have the chart, please? And so you have this chart in your packet, and we have 1, 2, 3, and so we show four on our list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to your knowledge, that's how many are actually leased. And the follow-up question would be, Do you know what that's, the space in the rear is used for? So is that currently leased for storage or any other facilities?
I don't know what it's leased for. And Corey, to be clear, mm-hmm. we have no interest to pull the wool over anybody's eyes.
Sure.
We get information from the ownership. They show us the leases. They show us the rents. And then we build our plans based on this.
Sure. And I'm just trying to get all the information that I can. So if that's not something we're sure about right now in terms of the number of lease spaces and if the other space...
No, we're sure about lease
okay.
spaces.
Okay. If we're not sure about if the other space in the garage...
The one that doesn't have a car?
2240. Both of these, I guess these are two separate garages. They both have space in the rear that I'm not sure if those are used for storage or for anything where
it's
leased.
It's full of junk.
Well, but I mean, is it? I'm curious about how is it actually used if you walk in there today, and B, and how is it leased?
So it's not leased. It's not leased as this one is leased without a car. And so if they use it for storage, they use it for,
okay.
I'm not sure what they use
right.
it for.
No, we're using it. My brother using it.
So this second space?
Yeah, 2022, we use it. Even
so
though
you
don't see the cars all the time, but, we use it.
Sometimes the car parks there.
Yes,
okay.
yes, we're
right.
doing it. Because
okay.
we started at the lease, we got two cars.
Okay.
So, it's leased.
So
the point is, it's leased.
It is leased, and we have it in our calculations.
Okay.
We thought a car wasn't used, so my mistake.
Okay. And you addressed this some in your rebuttal, but regarding laundry access, I know in this one specifically, there is going to be a replacement of the laundry facility or moving or staying the same, but there's a laundry facility
going
to be
there. There's
a
laundry facility in every building.
Okay. But there's...
Ma'am, if I tell you the truth,
okay.
I'm telling
so
you.
So they're saying there's a laundry facility in every building.
And correct,
I don't
like
have plans
look.
For the other
so,
for 2200 and 2210. I just have 2200, 2220 and 2230.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
So we have laundry in both 2220 and 2230, which are the issues at hand.
Okay.
One question.
And there was a comment made that adjacent neighbors access this building for laundry, though. Are you aware of that arrangement at all?
I'm not aware of that, but she
okay.
says so.
We don't have laundry in our building.
But there will be.
Okay.
We have it on the plan.
Okay.
There's laundry
so
going in all four buildings.
Gotcha. Okay. It's not a kind of a question, it's a kind of thing. The laundry action, storage, spaces, tenants are notified.
Or can we submit a picture
you
of,
can,
of our, those garages?
Anybody can submit anything, anytime. And we encourage any information that you think is relevant to be submitted. We absolutely, yes, please do. The purpose of these hearings is to provide as much information to help the decision be made one way or the other. Okay. Well, thank you for that information. There's other questions. The parking issue is interesting for this one because it's a little bit staggered because the ones in the rear don't require, the variance is for the rear units.
Right.
Which for 2220 don't remove parking. That would be a separate process and
right.
the parking waiver, which would be associated with the building permit and be a separate decision. But in regards to the rear units, I tend to agree generally that the mid-block open space to the north helps for units E and D. I think for C, it's a little more cut off. So I'm going to look into that a little bit further. And like you said, the courtyard does provide a little bit of access of light to unit C, although not as much to E or D. Okay.
D and E have full exposure to D and E.
Well, they have exposure to the mid-block open space. Yeah.
D and E have go to those segments. D and E has full. Yes. No?
Yeah. They're,
yes.
Right. They're adjacent to the open space,
yes.
the mid-block
so,
open space.
We're suggesting that this at 70%,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that it opens up into the courtyard, plus the fact that it has the benefit of this,
mm-hmm.
makes it a worthy case.
Sure.
That's what our contention is.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you all very much for all of that information. As I mentioned, I'm going to take both these cases under advisement, taking all the information. If you have any other information anybody wants to send in related to any of the information provided today or any of the questions, or have any follow-up questions, please feel free to let me know. And again, a decision letter is typically issued in around 2 months or up to 2 months from the hearing. If you want to be included on that mailing, make sure you provide us with your contact information before you leave today. And with that, we will move on to the next item for 2230.
So item number two is case number 2017-008412VAR, located at 2230 Turk Boulevard, seeking rear yard and exposure variances.
And before you begin, just one housekeeping note. I know we're all in here very close. We all want to talk, but each time someone has to talk, it's their time that's limited. And so if we can just provide the courtesy to let people say what they're going to say, and then we can have questions and follow up as it happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So this is 2230. The building is essentially identical to 2220. The difference is that it opens up onto Nido as well as to Turk. And the reason we need a rear yard requirement, you're not allowed to build in the rear yard. This building was built into the rear yard before the rule was made. And so it has two floors above, and then there's this lower area that it has been left undone. And so we intend to fill in this area with a unit. And so that area is here. The distance from here to here is 30 feet, and that's what the rear yard requirement is. And so we need a variance to be able to build into this space. Now, it's very common when the building already occupies, last, go back please. When the building already occupies the rear yard, that this type of infill is usually granted. So that's why we're asking for a rear yard requirement variance. So the unit exposure is the same problem as we have in the other building, but in this case, we only need the unit exposure variances for two of the units. We need it for this unit and this unit, because this unit here, it has exposure out onto Nido. And so we don't need unit exposure for here. These two units, again, we feel like we're making quality units. We have a two-bedroom unit and two studios. And the two-bedroom is 676 square feet, and the two studios are 575 and 450. And so, you know, the minimum size is 220, so we feel like we're making nice units. And the double bonus on this is that we have this nice courtyard that these units open up onto. And so here is our unit exposure in the rear, which is 75% of the total required, and then we have the bonus of the courtyard in front. The parking issue in this building, there are three spaces back here. There are three total spaces here and four spaces in the front. So that's seven legal spaces. There are four spaces now that are leased, and we can replace all four of those leased spaces. And I'm not stupid. I realize that it's not a guarantee that the person who lives in the unit and has this space now gets a guaranteed space outside. It doesn't happen. But we're removing four parking spaces and replacing four on the outside. And if you would like to say, but there's seven potential spaces in the building, I accept that. And so there's seven potential spaces, and we're able to replace four of the potential spaces. I do believe that because we're a transit-first city, and the trend as we move forward is away from cars, not towards cars. And so if you think about these decisions that we're making today, these decisions are for the next 20 years. They're not for the former 20 years. And several comments have been made about parking requirements. The parking requirements are being reduced because there's less use of cars in the city. Let's see if there's something else. Then when we go back to the overall, there are 13 leased spaces, but just for, and we're able to replace 11 on the street. And I realize it's not one for one, this person can't guarantee to park here, but for the whole community, we've now added 11 spaces to the community, which the people who live on this side of the street are going to say, wow, what a good thing. The ADUs have been added. We've added 15 ADUs, which makes former Mayor Ed Lee happy, and it makes the planning staff happy, and it makes the housing community happy. And so if we can get 15 units, and if you count all the parking in the building as 19 spaces, 19 legal spaces, and so let's use that 19, and I can replace 11 on the street, that means that we're getting 15 new units, and we're only losing 8 potential parking spaces. That's the end of my comments.
Okay, thank you. Again, by a show of hands, how many people would like to speak on this item? Okay. I think we are going to go in reverse, and we're going to start here and go along the table and snake back along the wall, if that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. You each have 3 minutes.
All right. And in doing so, may I ask a question if I can just ditto what I said before?
You absolutely. Yeah, if you want to just absolutely restate what you said before
That's basically it. And I appreciate the additional parking spaces. Again, we get overflowed with people from Nokna, all the people that lost their parking spaces because of the Masonic project. We're going to have people that, we've got a 95-unit building going up just down the street from us that has no off-street parking. I can't believe nobody's going to bring a car. So I think that the additional parking spaces on the street are good. I applaud that. I just think they're going to be grabbed up before you can say Peter Rabbit. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll move down the table here.
Not me.
I'm sorry.
Hi, Laura Isayev again at 2200. I didn't mention earlier about the Masonic. We lost all the parking on Masonic. I am not thrilled with the discussion that each of these are only 19 apartments because they are 2-car garages. I had a 4-car garage at one time. I gave up half of it and now only have 2. But there are 2 spots that can be used, and I think his number is underestimated. Transit first. I work at a job that takes me 1 hour and 15 minutes to get to work on a bus. I get there in 15 minutes in a car, and it's in a bad neighborhood. So I think we need to have some parking for those of us that cannot use transit for work. I'm working in 3 different neighborhoods. I cannot drive. I cannot take a bus to work every day. I try to be a good citizen. I try. We do have the blood bank. They're constantly walking around moving their cars. It's two-hour parking in the neighborhood. I see them all day long moving, and I know they get tickets. We're going to get tickets. There's high theft, high break-in. I've been there for many years, and even before this epidemic of break-ins, there have been break-ins all along Turk, all along those Anza Vista houses that go down towards Broderick or St. Joseph's. And they put trees, and it's actually easier to break in because now you're hidden by all those trees. So it's not safe, and if I get home at midnight, there will be no parking, and that's my biggest objection to this.
Thank you.
Christina Saber. I just want to add on that. I'm, as a woman, I'm actually scared to park on the street on that same stretch of Turk. I understand parts of Anza Vista are not dangerous, but our particular stretch is really scary because it's all trees and there's no doorways and there's almost no street lights. So it seems unfair that we can't go out at night for fear of parking our car on a dark street and getting attacked. I just wanted to address the notice. The notice that we received on October 10th, 2016 was just with respect to the retrofit. So that's what we were anticipating, and you know, people were a little sad and upset, but I think everyone was on board with going along with the retrofit. What?
3 months only.
Yeah, but we were willing to go along with it, but we thought it was a temporary 3, possibly 4 month retrofit. We had no idea until we saw the variance notices on our building in November of 2016.
17 that this was going on. Had there not been a variance hearing for 2220 and 2230, we would have had no idea, because there's no variance for 2200 and 2210, and I believe the 2210 permit has almost been granted. Couple more points. I'm still confused about your point about that it's illegal to park in, now where's my note? It's illegal to park in your own driveway, because it is in the, section 1004 of the Transportation Code, parking of vehicles across private driveways. It's in the statute, the lessee of property shall be permitted to park the lessee's vehicle across the private driveway, provided blah, 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 and it doesn't go across the sidewalk, and we have such, we're set so far back from the street that we're not, you never need to go over the sidewalk, even with a huge van. So I don't understand how it's illegal to park in your own driveway and how that could be severed from the garage. I'm not following the logic on that. I just want to point out, again, I agree with Laura, I'm not following the numbers. When I sent in this chart to Dory and Ella, but I can send it in again, but we see 31 spaces and 20 driveway spaces, and there's also an additional space to the left of the three driveways on Nito that our building manager uses, one of the tenants uses, our maintenance guy uses. It's a garage and a huge driveway, so that's also been omitted from the charts. So I'm seeing 31 spaces, driveway, garage spaces, 20 driveways, 15 leases, and we're counting 25 cars and 6 to 7 motorcycles. And this is what people, you know, different people own.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so okay, thank you very much. We'll move on to the next.
Yeah, I'm Ross Lyon, and I just think the number of cars here have been totally misrepresented, because what happened was the building manager came and told me, he said, we're not going to rent out any more spots, so you guys don't have the leases, because the building manager and the management decided they weren't going to officially have parking in those spots. That was a while back when they were considering the retrofit. So people are parking in that spot, and who knows how they're getting paid or whatever, but they may not have an official lease right now. And so there's 31 cars, not 14 there, that we're talking about. It's a big difference, huge, like 100% more. So that's kind of crazy.
Yes.
And then the next door height, if we can see the picture of the two adjacent building next to 2230, because part of the argument for the variance was that it's a lower level building next door. And part of the reason why we have this rule that says you've got to have a certain amount of space of daylight is for the quality of living of those people. You don't want them staring at a wall with their one window. And that's what they're going to be doing. That building next door is dark. It's just as high as 2230. And I'm not against additional housing. I think that that's exactly what the city needs. They need to build high-rises with underground parking so that cars can park. These millennials, anyone who's from the Bay Area knows that you want to go to the beach, you want to go to the mountains, you don't want to be dependent on public transportation, and that's not what's going to happen. So they need to get away from that. And I think this whole idea of taking the ADU law and applying it to a large building like this is completely against the spirit of the law. If you have a shack in your backyard that's not being used, go ahead and make an ADU, more power to you. Don't take away all of these tenants' garages and then burden the entire neighborhood. And that's, I think, what we need to look at here.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Again, Bailey Jamison, I'm on Anza Vista. But with your comment about, you know, we're transit only, but the reports coming out from MTA.
Transit first,
but the reports coming out from MTA, the ridership is down, the Uber and Lyft is way up, like 16,000 cars a day, has more cars into the city. So any anticipation of sort of mitigating the parking thing here, we see Flywheel? The Flywheel guys park right outside of our place now. They used to be right out in front of the blood bank and in front of your building. And then they moved around the corner to O'Farrell across from what was Best Buy. And they'll probably move again after they get chased away from there. But the situation with all these extra cars, you've got 40,000 new jobs in the last 2 years in San Francisco. How many of those people have cars? A lot of them. So even though the city wants to go without cars and more transit, it's not happening. It's the MTA people lied to us on Masonic. They have blinders on, and they said, oh, well, 167 cars not being able to park in Masonic, so what? They can park in the neighborhood. USF went after them, and it was like they were talking to a wall. So parking is a key issue in this whole deal. And somehow you could lift the building up or put those units on the top and keep the garages. They're doing it over, what's the building that was in the article paper the other day? 710 in Dogpatch. They're doing the building, they're doing the extra housing on another story. Well, now that they're changing the zoning, you are allowed to go up. So, okay.
All right. Next, we'd like to speak.
Oh, my name is Sandy Lam. I'm sorry, I don't know anything about the things. That's after my, and another thing, English is my second language. The reason why I'm here is because I'm living in the 2230s since 1981. I'm living with my mother, she is 93 years old. And I have to say, the neighborhood has not been saved. Our building has been broken in about 2 years ago, and our mailbox has been vandalized twice in the past 2 years. And because of the physical, you know, limitation, my mother, she will need home care, you know, to visit, you know, to maintain her independent living. So the home care is the treatment team. It's to include a physical therapist, social worker, and the nurse, and the health worker. It's already very difficult for them to find a parking space. And I'm afraid they will reduce the services because the parking becomes a problem. Another thing is the storage use is included in my lease. Another thing, for any one of the planning building has been our building. The building is very old and the very thing. I can, if my neighbor speak louder, I can hear it. He snore, I can hear it. I cannot imagine you have all those construction, that would be like an earthquake. And another thing, I'm glad USA is not going to take away the laundry, because the elderly, because the medical problem, we have to use the laundry almost on a daily basis. And you know, the self-service, the laundromat is about half a mile away. That's the nearest one. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next person would like to speak.
One more time, John Papani, John Dina Papani, 2210. You know, I again want to reiterate the fact that I think the number of lease spaces is misrepresented. I don't know if the leases that you handed, they clearly must not include Joseph Hall, who is, I share the garage with, and it's on the north side of my parking space. He has a vehicle in there.
Joseph Hall.
Yeah. It's not on your diagram, because it would be a green
sorry, guys.
In front of my space.
It's this time.
Okay, my bad.
Sorry.
That, you know, that being said, I'm a city employee. I'm a school teacher with the district here, San Francisco Unified School District. They're desperate for teachers, and primarily because teachers can't afford housing. You know, if you take away my garage, my storage, all of, you know, what I have as my life since 1997, you know, no fault of my own that I managed to get an apartment with a garage and storage. Thank you very much. You know, and you're just going to take it away to add more units for, I don't think those are going to be for teachers, you know, probably for really wealthy tech workers who are going to come in with a car and their new Tesla and have nowhere to park it or plug it in. And my car is a plug-in Prius. What am I going to plug my car in? I'm not. So now there's more pollution. So maybe it's like still 50 miles per gallon, I don't know, whatever, but it just feels like a railroad to me. You know, and you're saying it's, oh, the city needs more units, but do they need more units that are gonna impact long-term tenants, natives of San Francisco, who are just doing their best to live their lives? We want to impact the quality of our residents so we can import people from Ohio to come work for programming tech jobs and, you know, make a mess of society. I yield the rest of my time.
Thank you very much. The next person who'd like to speak?
I guess that's me, Arash Hani, 2200 Turk. I just wrote down my thoughts, so I don't rant, so I'll just read from this. He mentioned looking forward, not back, so my main concern is let's not worry about appeasing anybody else like the former mayor. Let's try to please everyone that's in this room that has something to lose from these proposed changes. As he said, the city is moving away from cars, but not completely banning them. I mean, this is still America. We should have freedoms to transport ourselves however we want. And I, for one, need my car to commute. My dad needs his car because of his disability. So we can't live or work without them. And I get home very late. So even if magically there's a parking spot that is very accessible, it's not always going to be available, usually not, at the times that I get home. Another thing about looking forward is the trend is to be changing parking lanes into bicycle lanes, and especially just looking at what happened to Masonic Street around the corner, I could see that happening to Turk Street. So replacing whatever the amount of actual parking spots are being taken away by 11, then, you know, looking forward is going to be zero. So yeah, I'm not very comforted by that. That's really all I have to say.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll work around.
Okay.
So my name is Ashkan Ahani. I'm at 2200 Turk as well. I first off want to say that I am a millennial. I was born and raised in San Francisco, right over at USF. I work at a car rental company, and I want to say that the sponsor said that we're trending away from cars. San Francisco is trending away from cars. Hertz is actually doing really well. 16,000 cars is our current fleet just in San Francisco, with a Bay Area of 32,000 cars. We're renting to Uber and Lyft, which increases traffic on the roads and the necessity to park on the roads. Obviously, not everyone is going to be parked constantly, but the need to park to wait for the next fare is a necessity for many people trying to find work within the city. I personally don't work for these because I work at the car rental company, but one of the perks of my job is that I have a car from the company. So I, as well as having my personal vehicle, I have this company car, and not being able to park in the driveway or the garage means that I have to constantly move my vehicle for street cleaning, and with the proposed plan, I will not be able to move my car, or I'll have to find, I will have to move my car much more often. I also want to state that the depiction of the available spots in that diagram is not completely accurate, because we had a verbal agreement with Mr. Wong, which was the previous landlord, or at least the agent for the landlord, that has become an established part of our tenancy, and basically giving us a cut on our rent will not accurately or adequately refund us, because we've all basically been tenants for so long. Where can you find any sort of storage for a vehicle or stuff that can be paid for with the cut on our rent? I don't feel that the two spaces plus that we would be refunded would not be adequately reflected, and I certainly don't make enough money to be able to afford any change to that respect.
Thank you very much.
I'm Pat Andrews. I live in Anza Vista, and my question is I'm not getting, I'm against the parking, taking away that, so let's forget that, but on 2230 and on 2200, you want to push the building out 10 feet, correct?
They want to bring it out.
They want to bring it out. So the person that lives next door to 2230, that building, they're going to have an apartment butt up against it?
That's incorrect.
We can go over the details here, but if you
you want to extend it out over that garage with the Jeep, what is the variance to take it out 10 feet?
We can go over the plans.
Yeah, that just doesn't make much sense, because they're going to have darks right against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Looks fine as it is. At least now they have light.
Do you have any other
comments? No, but I'm against the parking. Okay, it's like totally ridiculous.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this specific case? Okay. In that case, the sponsor has 3 minutes for rebuttal.
So the issue with parking in driveways, Corey has explained it, that the problem with parking on turf in the driveways is you don't have enough, it says private, and you only have 10 feet to the property line. And so, this, go back and see what, no, side plan. So here is the property line. So here is the property line, and it's 10 feet. The owner wanted to park in these spaces. Could we replace the parking in here? And you can't, because it's not private property. You don't have a 10-foot car. And so your car is 16 feet, and so it fills this zone, and so this, you're in violation. So you're not able, if you have a fully private driveway, you can park in the driveway.
Sorry, guys, this is your time to
tell me
anything you want to tell me.
We want to learn how to design within the rules that have been stated. And we meet all the rules except for two, and so we come and ask for variance. And I don't hear from the audience much talk about the variance. What I hear is talk about parking. And so that suggests to me that our variance application is for the things we want to vary, is reasonable, but the parking, no one likes the parking. And so I am sorry about that. And this ADU policy is trying to discuss the greater good. And we have a housing shortage in our city, and that's well documented. And so there's been hundreds of people that have helped to write this policy. And we are trying to help the city. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And with that, I will close the public hearing. Just another couple quick things, just try to clarify. To the other point, the specificity about the parking in the driveway issue. And I understand it can be confusing because we have different city codes regulating some area that may overlap a little bit. But generally, the Transportation Code and Public Work Code regulate the public right-of-way, so what happens on the sidewalk and the streets. And the Planning Code primarily regulates what happens on private property outside the public right-of-way. The Transportation Code, as you said, you would not get a ticket from a transportation officer if you park in your driveway if you're not parking out on the sidewalk. But the Planning Code does very specifically state that all parking, in order to be legal, all co-conforming parking must be screened from view. And that means that, and it also can't be parked within your required front setback. Now, if there's no required front setbacks on these properties, that's not an issue. But what that means is that the parking has to be within an enclosed garage or screened behind, again, a gate or a hedge or something like that. And I'm happy to speak with anybody else offline about those details because they're not super germane to the exact issues here. But I just want to clarify that a little bit. Also, you know, I think we're hearing a lot about, you know, the overarching policy of the ADU program, but also the fact that, you know, projects have real impacts on real people and there needs to be a balance. And that's why some of the components of the ADU program are discretionary. And we want to look into all the issues for each project, and that's part of what we're doing here. And I assume, you know, I had the questions for you specifically about the other property. I think they're pretty similar here in terms of there's not a loss of laundry access here. I'm assuming the spaces that aren't the space behind the leased parking spaces is storage that is not leased but used by folks. I assume it's the same situation.
Sure, that's true.
Okay. And you, I believe at the beginning you mentioned how many leased spaces there were in this building. I missed it.
So in 2230, there are 4 leased spaces.
Okay, gotcha. That's what I wanted to make sure. I just
and
missed
that
number.
That's in your package that I sent you.
Okay, good. Four leased, but up to 7.
There's 7 total spaces.
7 spaces.
Okay. And but if staff said, Mr. Hood, please count potential tandem spaces, mm-hmm. you know, we'll count the tandem spaces, but that wasn't the direction I got from the Senate. And so,
sure.
You know, there are potentially two other tandem spaces in that arrangement,
right.
And I.
But currently, that area, they're not used as parking spaces right now.
That's correct.
They're used as storage that is not separately leased storage. It's
that's
just
correct.
Used as storage.
That's not correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are you talking about my space again?
No,
no.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
I'm using
but,
it.
But again,
using this parking space.
No. Thank you.
You,
thank
you.
I'm not specifically referencing your parking space. Thank you.
2230 is using the back for two motorcycles.
Okay. There's two cars here, and there's always a car parked here.
Okay.
There's a car, there's two cars parked here.
Right, and so that's when I was saying that you're more than welcome to submit, you know, any other comments or materials, photos, or anything like that afterwards, please do. I want all of that information.
You submit that to you.
You can submit it directly to me, or you can submit it to the project planner, either one, and they will send it to me. Essentially, all of this information is going to funnel to me to help make a final decision on both of these.
Okay.
On both of these.
Corey, do you have business cards or something?
I do, and we can. Yeah, after this, if anyone needs my contact information.
You and Scott, or just you now?
Well, I will be the one making the decision and signing the final letter.
Okay.
Now, Scott and I often, you know, consult with each other and talk about issues, of course. Let's see if I had any other questions about this one. I think that's all my questions. I would just say that. Yeah, obviously the context for this one is a little different in the rear because of the adjacent building and the height of the building, so there is some, you know, there's not as quality of exposure back there as it would be on the one at 2220, so that's something I'm going to want to look at in more detail. But with that, just like with the other one, I'm going to take all of this under advisement. Again, if you have any additional information you want to send to me, please do. If you want to get a copy of the final decision letter, please make sure you provide us your contact information, and it'll be up to 2 months before the final decision letter is issued. And until then, no final decision is made. Sure.
I'm sorry to ask a question, but
sure.
I know that a lot of us are residents of 2200 and 2210. Mm-hmm. There's no variance here, and there's
correct.
No hearings for
sure.
It. Permits are already granted.
Let's, we can discuss
this,
that.
Is this not all tied into one project, or can they get? Are they going to piecemeal it out? Or
right, these are all separate properties,
and
technically
properties,
the other ones didn't require variances, so they're kind of all on their own track. But I'm happy to talk with you in more detail as soon as we close the hearing here, because technically, on the agenda there is time for public general comment for anything that wasn't on this calendar. So if you may want to speak about any other case or any other issue that's not related to 2220 or 2230. Turk, now would be your time.
Can you fix a parking ticket?
I absolutely cannot. Yeah,
can you talk about 2200 then?
No, that was on the 2200. Oh, 2200.
2200,
mm-hmm.
We haven't discussed because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know there wasn't going to be a hearing. I didn't know because there's no variance, there's no hearing,
correct.
Right?
Right, so if you want to speak about, if you want to take some time and if you want to take 3 minutes and speak on 2200, you may.
I would like to know where our laundry access is going to
well,
be.
Well, no, this is, sorry, it's not a Q&A, it's like public comment, yeah.
Okay, so for them to take away our garages without a hearing, we don't need a hearing, and there's no outside comment for 2200 and 2210 because there's no variance, is that correct?
Yeah, if you want to have a back and forth
okay,
about
so
2200,
that concerns
we can do
me.
That.
We received no notice other than this temporary notice saying they're doing a seismic upgrade only. That's all I was aware of. I was willing to work with that, and now we're told we're losing our garages and losing potentially more. I'm losing a sink and a washing facility. There's no hoses. There's nothing anywhere to wash a car or do anything that we are losing as well. And none of that has been addressed for 2200 and I believe 2210 because there's no variance hearing. And I'm just curious how we address that.
Is
and
there
I'll comment
any
on 2210
okay.
in the same respect that I was not notified other than the seismic retrofit in August or October of 2016 and that would be a temporary. And I was anticipating it and trying to organize my time speaking with Ken Fong, who's like the on-site property manager, when that would occur. And then I was not at all made aware that there was anything going on at 2200 or 2210. Until we saw the bill posted about the hearing for 2220 and 2230, at which time I think Christina, through her immense hard work, found out that they had already granted permits without ever notifying any of the tenants, and not giving us any sort of lead time or no concern for our storage, our parking, or any other services that we use in the building.
Okay, when the hearing closes, I'm happy to talk about this. And so we're just doing public comment.
Yes. Okay, on 22, on all of this, yep. And not living right specifically in that area, during this construction time, you realize Nido is the only turnoff that we have to get into our homes from Turk. Now, during this construction time, you realize that that's all going to be blocked up with construction people. So it's going to make that left-hand turn coming from, you know, on Turk to Nido, or right-hand turn, either way. We'll have to go all the way down to Baker and come around, plus all the traffic that comes out from Turk, that comes out from Anza Vista, from Target, during this construction time. And we went through construction when they did Wallenberg High School. And it was a mess, and traffic was a mess, and all the parking that's there is also going to be a mess for an indeterminate amount of time, because there's like now four buildings we hear being done, not just two. It does affect us around the corners and in the neighborhood, because the workers have to park. They're usually done on weekends. You know, though it was supposed to be a California project, all the school that was done across the street from us was done by out-of-city workers that parked all over during the weekend and took all the parking. So I do have a little problem with sometime during this construction, because it says it's not 6 weeks, it's like 2 or 3 months, if not longer. And that's going to affect everybody in the neighborhood, not just Turk and not just Nido. Sorry.
Anybody else have any comments other than 2220 and 2230?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'm in 2210. I have the same concerns as two other people that had just spoken before me. I support those who are wanting to keep their parking spaces. Now, I'm not a person that has a car. I do have concerns about the laundry facilities. And I just don't think it's fair, and especially for the seniors that we have in our buildings. We have several seniors that are living in the building. I didn't receive a notice. I was verbally told by the property manager that they're going to have to do direct forfeiting, but no notice that this was going to happen. I didn't find out till today that the permit had the permit, that they're working on getting that permit. Seems like it's going to go through for 2210. So that's my concerns.
Okay. Well, okay. More public comment.
I'm at 2200. I just want to add to the record that there's another person that feels exactly the same way as these three people.
Okay.
That feel like all this happened without any warning, and it's just starting to sink in that I should be really worried about my building.
So. Okay. Okay. Well, that will conclude public comments and the hearing, and we will adjourn.
In the Senate.
Thank you for
signing. Sure. Hold on one second.